Good morning, hour three of the morning tailgate, Raider Nation Radio. Clay, it feels good. Football is back in our lives.
Thank you.
And like we talked about, you know, we see it back on our TVs on Thursday, and it's like it never left. The wait feels like minute. I know it wasn't. I know it was a long wait, but it is back. And we only have a few more hours till the next game. And that's a Brazil game. We've talked about that. We've also been asking the nation, the tailgaters, 702-365-9200, what is your week one schedule? What does it look like getting ready for that Sunday slate of games? What are you eating? What are you wearing? How is the house different in terms of a setup as you're getting ready to watch all those games? We are asking those questions. We are sharing those stories. But first, we do not want to keep Super Bowl champion waiting. Chris Thomas, Fusion Odyssey, joining us here on the tailgate as he does every Friday. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Oh, my goodness.
Basking in the glow of football coming back into our lives.
Basking in the glow is a great way to put it. And obviously, Chris, I'm curious, and before your NFL days, I'm curious, how did you take in Sunday football? Like, what was your routine? What did that look like?
Well, I hate to date myself, right? I remember we didn't have, like, the NFL Network or the Red Zone and stuff like that, right, to watch games. So the only games you really watched were the games that were on Fox or NBC or CBS or whatever it was back in the day. But it was very, very, very typical and very routine. It was go to church, come home, and watch football. And if my team was playing against my brother's team, we had to be in different rooms. Antagonism.
Why is that?
The antagonism that went on was brutal. It ended up in fist fights almost all the time. Just screaming from one room to another just to make sure that your brother knew that your team just scored a touchdown. It was that antagonism. And I still remember it like it was yesterday. But no, I loved it. And then after we watched football, we'd go out in the streets and start throwing the football around. I mean, that's honestly why I fell in love with football and why I wanted to become an NFL player at age 8 and wrote it in a journal. You know, I want to be an NFL football player. And who would have ever known? But, yeah, it's pretty routine on Sundays for me as a kid.
Former Super Bowl champion Chris Thomas here with us. He's a performance development mentor and life coach with Fusion Odyssey here with us on Fridays at this time. All right, let's take a look at Raiders at the Chargers. First of all, how do you think the Jim Harbaugh presence and mindset and philosophies will change what the Chargers are doing on offense?
Well, you know, I think that he's going to be smart offensively because I think Jim knows that balance is the key. Right. And I think that if you just look at his MO, that establishing a running game is really important to him. But obviously, I think he wants to make sure that he protects Justin. So you have to do that as well. But I think he's going to approach it with a really balanced attack, but an aggressive attack. I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to gauge how effective the Chargers are going to be because I just feel like they gave up a lot of weapons and they're kind of starting over. And so it's going to be interesting to see how effective the weapons are that they do have. Given that they lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and it's going to be interesting because now you're throwing guys that don't have that kind of resume. So I think it's going to be a challenge for him, and I really anticipate that the Raiders should have a lot of success against them offensively, and I think defensively it's going to be a chance for them to make a real statement as to where they're going to go the rest of the year.
Chris, I always am fascinated by this question. It's week one, and you know, like if you're the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid's been the offensive mastermind there for forever, they're deep into their playbook by now. They're probably you know, onto chapter 50 at this point. Whereas a team like the Raiders with Luke Getsy, they're just starting out on their journey in this offense, and so it's week one. Two questions. Number one. How many plays typically go into an offensive game plan on a week-to-week basis? Because it just doesn't seem like it's logical to put the whole playbook out there. You're probably going to have to pare it down. So what's that process like in terms of paring it down, and how many plays do you typically go into a game with? And, you know, for a Luke Getsy-led offense, how much can we realistically expect the Raiders to truly have a command of this, you know, by game day on Sunday?
Well, that's an interesting question in regards to the first question because I think that it varies per team, right? Like, you look at the history of, like, the Steelers, for instance. I mean, they're a they're a run first team, right? So that doesn't get very complicated when you talk about the passing game. But then you look at a team like Kansas City, right? And like the creativity never ends. It's crazy how many variations of plays that they run. And so that's what I would tell you in regards to the number of plays. There may not be necessarily like 50 plays, but there's like 40 or 50 plays that are variations of plays, right? So you could have one play with like five different ways to run it. So that's, I think, where the Chiefs and some more of the more creative offenses, you know, come up with this real robust playbook for game day. But I would tell you, in regards to Luke, you know, I just think back when you said that, BB, about Mike Martz, right, and his first year with the Rams, which was my first year with the Rams, and it was his first year as a coordinator, but he was as creative as any offensive coordinator in the league, right? Like, he did not, like, at all, like, consider that maybe these guys aren't going to be able to grasp this, the depth of this, the playbook that I want to create. I mean, we were doing everything I just said, like every variation. What you're seeing with Andy Reid is pretty much what Mike Martz was doing back in that day. So I think it's just a matter of how much does he trust the guys to know his playbook, and then how effective are they going to be at actually executing it on game day, because the more you can execute it, then the more you're going to bring out some of the other variations of the plays throughout the course of the game. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Chris, obviously we know what a rivalry week means to Raider Nation, but can you help paint a picture of what that looks like in a locker room, a rivalry, regardless of whatever team you were on? How different was that locker room in the build-up to that week?
So, again, I can only kind of speak to me. I think once you reach the NFL, I mean, clearly there are teams you really love to beat, but I think when you are in the NFL, every week is a big week, every week. And so, like, every opponent is the biggest opponent that you're going to play. And granted, again, there are teams that you obviously want to beat more. Clearly the divisional games are the most critical, and your conference games are the most critical. But I think every week, I don't know that you ever focus on, like, we hate these guys. We really want to, you know, beat them into the ground. I think we just get that every week is a big week because every game matters. I mean, how many times have we watched the season come down to the last game to whether a team's going to make a playoff or not, right? So I just think that it's a matter of every week being a big game. But clearly it feels so much better when you're beating a rival. I mean, when I was on the Redskins and you're beating the Cowboys, like, that's a really big deal because you obviously despise the Cowboys while you're playing them. So, but I think for an NFL guy, I don't ever recall guys like going, hey, we hate this team. Like, we want to smash their neck into the ground. So this game means more. I think we all just get that every game is a big game, and that's the way you approach it, because it all comes down to it can, and obviously can come down to like the last game of the year, right? So you got to handle your business every week. And it, you know, I think that most guys can gear up, you know, week to week for that without trying to get extra ramped up because it's a rival.
Chris, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs last night. We saw Lamar Jackson last night. We've been talking about Lamar, and there were two plays, kind of blatant misses on his part, including late in the game where there was a wide-open wide receiver in the end zone that all he has to do is execute what seemed to be a fairly easy pass, relatively speaking. He is an NFL quarterback. He's one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL. He obviously had a fabulous game otherwise, but when it gets down to games like that against the Kansas City Chiefs, you almost have to be perfect. And Lamar hasn't been perfect in those situations. I mean, at what point do we start looking at Lamar and seriously wondering, are you going to be able to make those plays when those plays have to be made in games like that?
Well, you know, I think the first game of the season is a bit too early, but you're right. He has a history of maybe not showing his best in those big moments, in those big games. Are you referring to the one that Zay Flowers kind of like underneath the field goal post, that one that he missed?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I did watch that a couple times, and I would tell you this from a receiver perspective that was definitely going to be a tough throw just because of the momentum of him going to the right. And also, like, if I recall right, there was a Kansas City defensive player that was kind of in the line of where he could throw in front of Zay. And I'm not speaking for Lamar because I don't know what he was thinking. Mm-hmm. But as I watched it a couple times, like, in my head, I told myself I would have slowed down to sit better in a hole so that Lamar had a better pathway to get him a cleaner ball instead of continuing to move across the field. So I can tell you it wasn't the easiest throw, but can Lamar make it? Yeah. Does he have to make it? Yeah. You know, but on the flip side of that, did he make a really good throw to Likely, you know, in order to give him a chance to win? Like, yeah, it was a pretty good throw. Could he have hit Likely in the corner better to where he almost didn't blow out his shoulder, right? Yeah, you know, give him a chance. So I think he, you know, he's clearly demonstrated he's capable. I don't think that there's a moment that's too big for Lamar. So that's the interesting thing, right? If you look at Lamar, like, I think we would all agree that Lamar's not intimidated by anything. He expects to be great. He expects to win Super Bowls. So I don't think it's a matter of, like, Lamar not being able to handle the moment. He just has to execute better in some of these moments. But I said what I said, I think Lamar is absolutely going to prove that he's capable of showing up in big moments. It's going to happen here soon because he's not intimidated. I mean, you can't look at Lamar and think, gosh, this moment's just too big for him. Like, there's nothing that would indicate that in terms of his emotion, his demeanor, what he says, his confidence, his swag. So I know it's not that. Maybe it's just they need to get on a better page. But, yeah, I agree. Definitely some plays that were left out there in the field, you know, but they were a millimeter away from tying the game potentially or maybe winning because Harbaugh was going to go for two, which would have been fascinating to see, you know, that as game one.
Chris Thomas here with us on the Morning Tailgate. You know, everyone's desirous to see what Gardner Minshew is going to look like quarterbacking this offense, but you know the philosophy is to establish the run early. So how would you split a run-pass ratio for Minshew, especially considering that Davante Adams still needs to get his share of targets, especially in the first half?
You know, I think that any good coordinator is just going to go with the flow of the game, right? I mean, the game's going to dictate what they can and can't do. If you're proving that you can't run, then it's senseless to keep, you know, banging your head for 1.5-2 yards a carry and keep putting yourself in longer third downs. But odds are against you, you're going to continue to execute those. So I think it's really a matter of the flow of the game. I mean, they have to establish the run. There's no doubt about it. They have to establish the run to take pressure off of Garner. You know, their wide receiving core, or I should say the receiving core as a whole, including their tight end, are fully capable of changing the game. But if you become one-dimensional, then it's too easy to defend at the NFL level. And they can't become one-dimensional. And then that could change the way that Gardner plays. Maybe he puts more pressure on himself. And maybe he's forcing throws that didn't need to be forced. So there's so much that changes when you can't establish the run. So I would tell you that I think for most balanced offenses, you know, if you could run, you know, 45% of the time and pass, you know, 55 to 60% of the time, I think that that's a really good balanced offense. I think, you know, for the Raiders, because they have such a good passing core, if they can pass 65% of the time and run 35% of the time, I think that would be a really good balance if they can execute in the running game. So that's what I'm really curious to see. I know you guys mentioned that they're aligned, you feel good about them, but we're going to find out, right? Like, you have to control the line of scrimmage. Look at Baltimore. I mean, you got their Derrick Henry. They didn't do a great job offensively as a line, giving him a chance to find hold. They just got manhandled, in my eyes, against Kansas City and way too much pressure on Lamar. So if that happens to Gardner Minshew, it's going to be a long game for the Raiders.
Chris, when it's all said and done come Sunday, what are we talking about on Monday? Who are we talking about come Monday morning after Chargers Raiders?
That's a great question. I would hope that you're talking about Zamir White, right? Because that means that the running game was really effective. You know, it'd be amazing for them to have a 100-yard rusher out the gate scoring a couple touchdowns. You do that, and I think that they get really excited about where this season's going to go. I think there's a lot to be revealed, right, after Sunday. But I would tell you that, again, I can't emphasize enough how important it is for them to establish the run game. Because what, and I don't remember last year, but what was Josh Jacobs' best game last year? You guys remember?
Ooh, they were far and few between.
Yeah, so did he have a 100-yard game?
I think I had to look back, but I think he might have had a –
I can remember one time where he had like a 50-yard run. You know, it was not a consistent 100-yard performance.
No.
Yeah. So
he had two 100-yard games. His best game would have been against the Jets in that 16-12 win, and then he had 100 yards in the Kansas City loss.
In the Kansas City loss,
so there
right.
You have it. You know, like you got to have a running game that's a lot more effective than that. So I think if Zamir came out and had a 100-yard game out the gate, I think what that says is so encouraging. And it changes how Luke is going to go about, you know, formulating the offensive game plans week to week when he knows that they have that kind of run game that can control the passing game and effectively, you know, change the way that they can open up the passing game. So that to me, if we're talking about Zamir, I think that's going to be a great sign.
And what's interesting is those two 100-yard games for Josh came in 13 games, right? I want to say 13 games that he played last year. Zamir had two 100-yard games in four games to end the year last year and was close to 100 in a couple of those others that he played. So the run game really, Chris, came to life with Zamir White, when Zamir White took over for an injured Josh Jacobs last year. You know, I know that there isn't any carryover necessarily from one year to the next, but what you saw of Zamir last year in those four games, does it give you hope that that's something he's going to be able to carry over into this season?
Absolutely, and that's kind of why I say it. You know, I think that if they can come out the gate like that, it gives them so much confidence in being able to really control the line of scrimmage, right? Like that's, if you look at the NFL, really you look at any level of football, but particularly in the NFL, if you cannot control the line of scrimmage, you are going to struggle to win because defensively, you're going to get raked across the cold. Offensively, your quarterback's going to get constant pressure, and you can't survive averaging 2.8 yards a carry or 3 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. You can't survive like that for very long against the best teams in the NFL because those best teams defensively won't let you get 3 yards a carry. So, you know, for them to be able to establish it early, I think it's going to just be huge because, again, what that will mean for the passing game with all the weapons that they have and then the versatility of the weapons that they have and the creativity that Luke can implement into the offense. I mean, there's no reason with the weapons they have that they can't, you know, be as creative as Kansas City is, right? With Michael and Brock and Devontae and Jacoby and Trey, like, they have all these weapons, right, that they can be utilizing in different ways, but again, you need the running game to be effective for them to be able to open up the playbook like that. So I'm really excited. I don't get to watch many Sunday games because I'm with athletes all day, but I DVR them and I record them, so I get to watch them late at night. And so I'm super excited to see how this all plays out over the weekend.
Nobody call or text Chris with any...
Leave him alone!
Yes, with any final scores. Let him enjoy the game.
No. You're getting blocked. Like, that kid never responds to me anymore.
And why am I on green, not blue?
Yeah, exactly. You're getting blocked with that emoji face that's red with like the little black
thing. Smoke.
You're getting blocked. That'll be what you see.
It's Chris Thomas here with us. Fusion Odyssey, former Super Bowl champion wide receiver, is a life coach and performance development mentor. If you have a son or daughter, student athlete looking to unlock the mental game, that's what Chris does all the time for professional, amateur, and student athletes. Call him in the office, 805-663-8483, and DM him on social media at Fusion Odyssey. Thank you, Chris, for your time. It was great insight. Let's do it again next week.
All right, my friends. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks,
you. Chris.
Have
you
a great
too.
Weekend, Chris.
You
and
too.
Yeah, he's right. You know, you want to establish a run. You'd love to see what Zamir White can do, but he brought up avoid being one-dimensional.
Man, so the question I asked is a question I'm probably going to ask him quite a bit come Fridays. What are we going to be talking about on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Going to get 1,000 different answers, right, depending on what you think the outcome will be, what the outcome will be. If we're talking about Zamir White Monday morning, that's a good weekend for the Raiders.
Yes.
That's a good weekend for the Raiders. If we're talking about, again, him being effective, obviously.
That's what you need. You need that. That's the identity that you lacked last year because it was one-dimensional.
But, I mean, of all the things we've talked about.
And that one dimension wasn't good.
Yeah, of all the things we've talked about this week, Zamir White has been not high on that list in terms of all the good things that go right. Zamir White can be, dare I say, the great equalizer for this Raiders team. When we talk about, you know, may not be the quarterback Justin Herbert is in terms of the Raiders with Gardner Minshew. But Zamir White can be that equalizer if he is going the way the Raiders hope he goes.
This is what I've been saying for weeks now. The Raiders have to be able to run the ball from day one. And obviously Zamir White plays big into that, Alexander Mattison as well. But they and also Brock Bowers, Trey Tucker, like the entire run game, and it starts at the offensive line. And I talked to Colton Miller about that yesterday. It starts up front, and then obviously the running backs and whoever carries the ball are going to have to do their job. But there's really, in my mind, no excuse for this running game not to be able to hit the ground running. And I would say that it has to. It has to. We saw, like you said, too many times the Raiders were one-dimensional, and it just wasn't working, and I don't know that it's going to work to any large extent if they have to be one-dimensional, you know, more often than not this year. They have to have a run game, a dependable running game. It's going to make everything else go. It's going to control the line of scrimmage. It's going to control the pace of the game. It's going to allow Gardner Minshew in the passing game to do its thing. It's going to help get you in third and shorts. It's going to help you convert some of those third and shorts. It's going to help you in the red zone. It's going to help you put the game away if you need to put the game away. So so that run game is a huge focal point. It's got to start on Sunday.
I don't want to dive too much deeper into what we've already talked about with Lamar and the end of the game stuff, but Chris brings up a fascinating point that I can't believe we didn't talk about yet. Lamar Jackson had Isaiah Likely in the end zone on first and goal in the corner of the end zone and blatantly missed him.
That's what I'm saying.
We were talking about that one where he's on the run and he misses him wide open in the middle of the end zone. Egregious just the same. Just hits that one in the corner.
Exactly. Awareness.
So, you know, we talked about he missed the first one, missed the second one, hits the third one, but the third one, he's already out of bounds. It was just a great point by Chris saying there was many opportunities to put that game, maybe not away, because who knows what would have happened on the two-point conversion, but there was opportunities. And in a game where the margin of error is so thin, it is a game based on moments. Can you step up to that moment or not? Lamar Jackson did not. He continues to fall short of that moment-making magic. Seemingly every time he has to play against that team in red, Patrick Mahomes does make those moments.
Yeah, and somebody was like, you know, enough of the Lamar Jackson slander, and I'm like, it's not slander. It's pointing things out that happened and that continue to happen. That's fair game, and Lamar would be the first to tell you that. It's not being gratuitous with the, with the criticism. It's not making something up. It's literally saying there were two plays.
Tape don't lie.
There were two plays that could have been made that would have changed that game.
Tape don't lie, Clay.
All right, coming up next, it's our football ritual for the $100 contest each and every week. This one, it's our pick 'em contest. Vince, Vinny, and Clay will come back. We'll give you three games to look at. You pick the winners. No spreads, just straight up winners. And it's open up for Nevada residents only. So call 702-365-9200, and you get to play the $100 Pick'em Challenge. If no winners this week, it rolls over to $200, and it's all brought to you by Paul Padilla.
With it's the money, 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 money. It always comes down to money, and maybe you're in a position right now. Maybe it's a little predicament. Maybe you need $500 to $5,000, like today. Maybe a bill just popped up out of nowhere that you got to pay, and you're wondering, how am I going to take care of this? My credit cards are maxed out. The credit's not necessarily where it needs to be. Maybe you're a little bit worried about it. Don't, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Here's what you do. Go to LendingStore.com. Let their experts help you find a lender that can get you that $500 to $5,000 in your bank account as early as tomorrow and alleviate all of your concerns. Just go to LendingStore.com.
It's time for the weekly tailgate pick'em here. Vince, Vinny, and Clay here on the morning tailgate. We're going to give you three matchups. You pick the winner. No point spreads, no totals, just the straight up winner. And we got Jerome in Vegas. He's ready to go to collect that $100. He's got to go 3-0. If he doesn't, it then carries over to next week to $200. And I'll start it off. My first game, Steelers-Falcons. I love the running attack for Pittsburgh, and I think there's just too much great positive perception around the Atlanta Falcons, and I don't think they can stop the run. They couldn't last year. Did they make the upgrades necessary? I don't think so. And I think just keeping Kirk Cousins and their offense off the field with the Steelers running attack, I think that bodes well for a road dog. I like the Steelers in that matchup.
Ooh, I kind of like the Falcons. think their upgrade was.
We
Raheem
already
Morris.
Have some divisiveness.
They've added some defense, haven't they? They put some money where their mouth is, including the quarterbacks. That's a great game, fascinating game. I'm going with the Broncos against the Seahawks. I'm not necessarily going with the Broncos. I think it's going to be a tall order for Bo Nix, the rookie quarterback, going up to Seattle, one of the toughest places to play. It gets loud in there. It's not going to be the Pacific Northwest that he remembers, except when he played at Washington, which I'm sure, didn't they beat him twice, Washington? So he's had some bad memories up in Seattle. And I think the Seahawks, to me, with the new coaching staff, offensively, defensively, it's a new world in Seattle, but I think it's going to be a hornet's nest for the Broncos and young Bo Nix. I'm thinking the Seahawks are going to win this game.
Wow. Boy, no love for Bo. At least not week one.
I don't know the man.
It's a rough place to make your pro debut.
Right?
It is not. The 12s are real.
Oh,
as
boy.
Somebody who covered that team for a couple seasons, that is a real place.
Fun place.
Regardless of who's in charge, that mm-hmm. the fans show up. I'm going in a different direction, obviously. I'm going to Soldier Field, where the eyes of the NFL world will rest on Caleb Williams. Now, in terms of a pick, Bears-Titans, you know, I trust Will Levis at quarterback as much as I trust his taste in cologne when it comes to his mayonnaise perfume. And I know history is not on the side of rookie quarterbacks. 0-7-1 in the last 5 years, rookie quarterbacks starting in week one. The last rookie quarterback to win week one, Sam Darnold, 2018. You know who shakes that? The it guy. Caleb Williams will lead the Chicago Bears and give the Bears faithful.
Yeesh.
They're going to bear down.
Woo.
And they're going to get excited about a quarterback for the first time in the history of their franchise. Give me Caleb Williams and the Bears week one.
All right, let's start it up. Jerome in Las Vegas, longtime Raider fan, living here in Southern Nevada, is in for our first contestant. All right, Jerome, I'm going to give you the games, and you pick the straight-up winner. No point spreads, no totals. Broncos, Seahawks, who do you like?
I like Denver.
All right, fantastic. Second game, Steelers, Falcons, who do you like?
I like Steelers.
All right, and the final bad boy, Titans, Bears, who's your winner?
Bears.
Dada baby Jerome.
Broncos, Steelers, the Bears. That's for Jerome. If Jerome goes 3-0, he gets $100. If not,
short
it
to the point.
Goes to 200. Good luck to you, Jerome.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right, quick break.
He's really excited. Jerome.
When we come back, we break it down even further. Right. Vince, Vinny, and Clay on Raider Nation Radio. Let's go.
And you know, it's fascinating. Chris Thomas said, we're going to be talking about Zamir White if things go the Raiders' way come mm-hmm. Monday morning.
I
don't disagree with him. However, I will give you this. Despite whatever outcome you may think it's going to be, I think the one Raider we're going to be talking about the most come Monday morning is Christian Wilkins.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can see that.
What say you? What Raider are we talking about Monday morning? And it could be good, bad, indifferent.
Yeah, I don't know that it's I don't know that it's going to or has to even be one player. I think for the Raiders, you know, especially kicking off a season, I just feel like this has to be such a collective effort, you know, and what I think needs to happen is some boxes need to be checked off. You stopped the running game. You ran the ball. Gardner Minshew took care of the ball and was efficient. I think that's going to be the key word for Gardner this year. For the Raiders to be successful, he needs to be efficient. Are they going to win the turnover battle? How are they going to play in the red zone? Are they going to be successful on third down? All these little bugaboos that they've had in the red zone on third downs, especially last year, that quite honestly let them down. So, football to me is the ultimate team game, and the Raiders just have that feel of an ultimate collective effort type of a team. They don't have the superhero at quarterback. We saw a superhero last night when the Chiefs needed to put it on somebody's shoulders. Whose shoulder did it go on? Patrick Mahomes. I don't know that the Raiders have that guy. But that doesn't mean that they don't have the necessary ingredients on their team to cook up wins. And so I'm going to go less toward one player and more toward Raider fans. If for them to be able to, you know, when their head hits the pillow on Sunday night in a content way, number one, winning the game, but also how many times have Devontae, how does it look? How did that win look. And to me, it supersedes one player. It has to look the right way. They have to do the right things. It can't be just survive. I mean, you're going to survive games and whatnot, but are they going to be able to check off some all those boxes that they've been talking about checking off this year, being the more physical team?
Clay. I think it'll be a 50-50 split between Minshew and Getsy, because everyone loves to critique what the offense could be, and I think we know what Gardner Minshew is with other teams, but how will it look with the Raiders? You only know it until you see it. So I think both will be either getting tons of praise or tons of criticism.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. You know, for a team that has a lot of talent, obviously, doesn't have the quarterback, right? That in terms of the long-term future of the organization, this is a fascinating week. This is a fascinating week for the Raiders, and it may be the most curious fans have ever been to open a week, not just in terms of the long-term goal of what this team will be, just in terms of what are we going to see?
That's right.
Like, what are we going to see? And I think that's – I don't know if we've asked that question in recent memory. I think we've had an idea of what it will look like. What that translates to wins was always the bigger question, at least with McDaniels and things like that. We always knew what it was going to look like in a sense, but how would it translate to wins? This is the first time we don't know what it's going to look like.
I think we know what it's going to look like defensively. But you're right. We don't know exactly how it's going to look offensively. And you know, piggybacking on what Clay was talking about, I don't know that in a victory, Gardner's going to get a whole lot of praise. And I don't know that it's even needed. That's where I'm saying it's a them winning games is going to be a collective effort. But if they lose,
we're
I could definitely
Gardner.
See, depending on how it looks, but I could see if they lose it falling on the efficiency or inefficiency of the quarterback. So maybe not so much on the praise level. He's just going to be that facilitator, kind of point guard, played a good game, didn't lose it for you, did what he was supposed to do in a winning effort, and that's one of the boxes that they will have checked off. If they lose, it might be because he had a clunker of a game, and now you are talking about him and not praising him.
Could you imagine where it would be one of those situations where it was the defense let you down in a game?
Right.
Like I don't foresee that. It's almost like 9 times out of 10, I do not expect that to be what we're talking about on Monday.
That would be a surprise.
That would be a massive surprise.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a massive surprise. DeSean Jackson will probably be talking about Davante Adams on Monday.
Close personal friend, DeSean Jackson.
Oh, bingo. We're not done here on the Morning Tailgate. It is Vince, Vinny, and Clay. Coming up, the final sit.
I want to sit down. This morning,
got yourself a gun. The Morning Tailgate.
We have a new Paisan. Oh,
Vince Sapienza.
That's right, we do. Hey!
Vinny Bonsignor.
It's a stereotype, and it's offensive.
Clay Baker.
I'm German-Irish.
Oh! Oh!
Oh!
Back up.
On Raider Nation Radio.
I want to sit down.
Death taxes and the final sit down. They are always here. They are always lively. The question we've been asking all day, gentlemen, what do you do to get ready for week one? For me.
And ladies.
And ladies, of course. But here, men in this room. Nothing could ever be out of place in my home come week one. Nothing. We had mini helmets, different teams. We had jerseys that were placed just so on couches.
Brothers and sisters?
Two older brothers. But by the end of it, they were so irritated because I would get upset if they sat down on a part of the couch that had a jersey on it because you messed up the jersey. Or they would move and the jersey would fall and it would mess things up.
In my household, if the younger brother came up with that was a quick punch to the gut.
Yeah, but I was quick.
So were you in charge of laying out everything?
Oh, I was.
How much younger were you?
Okay.
10 to 12 years
younger.
Oh,
okay. So you're the baby.
I was the baby.
Yeah.
We had chili, we had hot dogs, and we had Orange Crush.
Orange Crush is good.
Orange Crush, but in the bottles. The bottled Orange Crush. Yeah. Very, very important. Very different.
With the real sugar.
Yeah, the real stuff that kept you going. I couldn't have espresso like I do now back in the day, so I had to have something else to keep me going for the hours on the day. But, yeah, everything had to be just so. If something was out of place, I would freak out. And as the baby of the family, I typically got my way. You know, not spoiled, blessed.
Yeah, we were like a total of 3 years apart.
Yeah.
Me and my brothers, 3.5 years apart. So there was a lot of beatdowns. For that would have required major beatdowns.
Clay, you were just reading something on the text line. Can you share that with our listeners?
Ray from Henderson says, my wife was never a Raiders fan before I met her, and now she's the biggest Max Crosby fan ever. So every week one is like Christmas in our household. And then if we take an L, she's always there to tell me it's just a game. And then I told her it's not just a game, it's a lifestyle. So here's to a good season, fellas.
Yeah. A good lifestyle.
Don't ever say it's just a game.
No.
Please. I don't know who needs to hear this.
Do you ever hear the Bill Murray story?
If you get anything from today's episode, don't say it's just a game.
Do you ever hear the Bill Murray story? It was game 5 of the Cubs-Padres NLCS.
Okay.
Game 5, and back then, or when it was game not the NLCS, but it was the playoffs, right? And it was the deciding game. And Chicago's in San Diego, and a ball goes through Leon Durham. Remember Leon Durham?
Bull
Durham. His legs run score for the Padres. They're having a big party at Bill Murray's house. He's a big Cubs fan. Mm-hmm.
And then Garvey hits the 3-run homer.
All right. And so the whole house goes quiet, and his brother is there. It's a party, you know. And so his wife says to him, "So if they lose, you guys are going to be really upset, huh?" And he goes, "I just looked at her and was like, you're just never going to understand." Who goes by, not just again. Yes, we will be hugely pissed off.
Captain Obvious.
I think they were up 2-0 in that series, too.
I was in Washington watching a football game. I'm not going to say the teams. Was watching a football game with coworkers, and my wife had prepared like a giant spread for all of us to watch the game. I was, needless to say, very vested in this game, to say the least. Things went south immediately in the game, and I was, you know, don't talk to me. One of my coworkers, not a sports fan, goes, "It's okay. It's just a game." And before I could react, my wife goes, "Please don't ever say it's just a game to a sports." And I looked at my wife and I go, "I love you so much.
That's my girl."
You know what's even worse? When somebody's like, "What, you got money on the game?" And like, "Can you not understand that my heart and soul are in this?" No, it's not money.
Some things are more than money.
Living and dying with this team, and it has nothing to do with any kind of a bet. And some people just don't get that.
Which is why Raider Nation, enjoy this week.
That's right. And join us 11 a.m. Sunday morning. We'll have your pregame beginning at 11. Take you right to the kickoff. For Vince, for Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. Eisen is next. Keep an eye on Raider Nation Radio all day long.